Hear this story around Easter time. I have to read it again. I think I read it last week. And the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Eileen, we don't have no notes. You still doing that? We don't have them. "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for those here tonight. And what a privilege we have to come worship you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we're thankful for our salvation. Those of us that are saved, I pray that each one of us here is, Lord. But if not, tonight will be the night. What a day. What a day to remember the day that we were saved. And we're thankful for that. Help us not to take it for granted. Lord, help us to always be thankful. Lord, help us to have a burden for the lost, a heart like yours. Help us to love you more. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The key verse is verse 9. And when Jesus told Zacchaeus this, "This day is salvation come to this house." You know, and what a day that that was exciting day for Zacchaeus. And we talked about it last week. What an exciting day, the day that you got saved. And that should be the happiest day of our life. I think sometimes, you know, we don't always understand. We don't understand. I think when I got saved, man, I didn't know everything that salvation entailed. I mean, I knew that I was going to have eternal life and that I would go to heaven and I wouldn't go to hell. But I didn't know about the blessings that you have in this life from being saved. Man, a relationship with God, forgiveness of sin, guilt taken away, that I could pray and I could be filled with the Holy Spirit. I could have joy, peace, love, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit. Man, I didn't understand all of that. I didn't understand half of that. You know, it's not all pie in the sky. There's pie down here too. You know, God's got something for us when we're here on earth. And I think we have to learn that. We have to grow into that. Maybe I'll say something about that in a minute. Last week was Memorial Weekend, and I was bringing up that we have days that we observe throughout the course of the year. We just had Memorial Day. Wednesday is my wife's birthday. We'll be celebrating. We kind of celebrated that with London's birthday's coming up next week, and so we got everybody's got a birthday, and we understand that. Then we'll have the 4th of July is coming up, and you know, throughout the year, Christmas, Easter, we have days that we celebrate, days that we remember, and they're all great days as well. So we have special days to remember. Every week, I mentioned this morning, you know, today is the Lord's Day. Man, this is a day set aside. This is a special day of the week, even though God made every day. I mean, God, every day is a day that the Lord hath made. But Sunday is a special day that, I mean, it's a time to rest. It's a day of rest. We need rest. You know, people, I'm telling you, man, people are, man, they can't sit down for a minute. It's up and down the highway and this and that. We got some rest, man. Brian was over there. It looked like he died over there in the Lazy Boy there, couch for a while, making some animal sounds, and I was right behind him there. And Murray in there talking loud, waking everybody up, and kids running in and out. I started saying, "Hey, need some peace and quiet around here, trying to sleep." Meditating time, that's what it was. You need a day like that. You need a day that don't have to do nothing. We always have something to do, but, you know, there's a time just to wait, rest and think about the Lord, what God's done for us. You know, Jesus knew that we needed a day to rest. Even himself, he went in and out. He would go into a quiet place alone to pray, a day of rest. So what a day, you know, when we got saved. Last week I was sharing when I got saved. And I know God had already dealt with us. And looking back, boy, you can see God's hand. And I'm not going to go through everything I talked about last week, but I do remember I told you all about when Wayne, the pastor's son, wanted to come and visit me on Thursday night because he knew that was an easy visit. Wasn't going to be hard. I was going to let him in. So he said, "I'm coming to see you Thursday." But then he called and said he wasn't coming. And I thought, okay, well, they're not nobody coming. So I went out to mow, and here comes Pastor Woodard and John Corbin and maybe Jimmy Wilkerson might have been in the car truck as we lived up in Amosville. And here they come, and that's the night I got saved. You know, when he asked me, he said, had I ever asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins coming to my life? I said, no, I never have done that. And I saw in the Bible that's what you must, you know, you need to do that. And so I got saved. But before that, that very week, sometimes Sherry had put a little note on the refrigerator door. We both worked. We both commuted a long way. I commuted 48 miles, and she commuted maybe just a little bit less, and we had to do it separately because our times were different. So we both drove a long way to where we lived. But she left a little note on the refrigerator door, and she said, Daniel, I believe these people really have a burden for your soul. Now, I was a lost man, you know, so that doesn't mean as much to you then as it does when you get saved, you know. She said, they have a burden for your soul. I saw that on the refrigerator door, you know, refrigerator. She knew where I'd be heading to get to when I get home. So I saw that, and lo and behold, you know, that was the day, man. That was the day to get saved. I mean, the Lord was dealing with me, and I'll say a little bit more about that when we go along. Along in the message tonight. I only got 3 points, not real long message, but I just want to ask you about this. The very first point is the what. What about this day? What about this day? You know, Jesus had come down there, and we know the story about Zacchaeus and climbed up in a tree, wanted to see Jesus was passing through Jericho. He was passing through that day, by the way. I'd like you to understand that Jesus was on his way to the cross. He wasn't going to come through that town again. That was the day. That was the day, and he said to Zacchaeus, he looked up there, he said, this day, today, this day is, not maybe, perhaps, or going to be, he said, this day is salvation come to this house. You know, this was a day that was cut out of the rest of time. I mean, it was the day for Zacchaeus to get saved. And I think about it, I look back, and probably in my life, in my time, in my life at that time, That was the time for me to get saved. I don't know that it had to be exactly that day. I shared with you last week. I didn't remember. I told Jesse this morning. I said, all right, remember this day, June 2nd, 2019. This is the day you got saved. Don't forget that day. I remember I got saved on a Thursday night visitation. It was Thursday night, and I remember that. But I never did remember the date. I couldn't remember the date. It was 1987. I knew the year, but I didn't remember that. It was in August. I knew that. Years later, my mama died on August the 20th in 2003. I got saved in 87. 2003, my mom died on August the 20th of 2003. And I got curious about that date, so I said, you know what, I Googled up the calendar from 1987, and I looked at the, and I knew about when it was and what part of the month I got saved, and I looked, guess what day I got saved? August 20th in 1987, the same day, the same date, and the same date that my mother eventually died later on. I don't know what the significance of that is, but it's just something that sticks in my mind now. And so, you know, there was a time, there was that day, and it was cut out of time. And I think, looking back, I know that God was dealing with me and dealing with Sherry. God was dealing with her. She had been saved earlier, but she was out of church. He said, I want to get back in. And just looking, that was the time in my life that God was dealing with me. I mean, I don't know if I hadn't got saved then, if I had rejected Jesus Christ then, I might have never gotten saved. I might have never gotten saved. Before that, it might have been too early. But that was the time in my life. And my daughter had just been born. She was just a little bit, little old itty bitty thing. There just wasn't, I don't know. She's in 87, and your birthday's in 86. So you was maybe a year, might have been coming up on a year. Yeah, coming up on a year old. So, wasn't quite a year old yet. My math's not great. I don't even recognize my kids on the birthday pictures, you know. What can I say? But, you know, it was a time of my life. I was a brand new dad. Man, I had a responsibility. I had a wife. I had a family. I was getting ready to raise my kids. Man, thank God I raised my kids with God. You know, that they were raised. Danielle gave a testimony last week that she'd been in church all her life, pretty much all her life. She'd been in church. Damien even gave the same testimony that her son been in church all his life. And Kyle been in church all his life because he came along later. So, you know, thank God that God dealt with me then so that I could be the man. You know, and I mean, I'm still growing, still learning. I haven't got there yet, but I was starting that road. And we took our family to church. And, you know, Wednesdays, listen, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know what time my church services started when I went? My church didn't start till 7:30. I'm talking about weeknights. 7:30, Sunday night, 7:30, we had our family in church. Pastor Woodard was long-winded too, brother. You didn't get out till 9. And that's when we got out of church. But I didn't use my kids as an excuse not to go to church. I didn't use being tired not to go to church. I didn't use the fact that I had to go to work and I had to get up early. I had to commute 48 miles the next day to go to. We had one lady that drove all the way 30-some miles. She drove out to the church, and she was at all the services too. And so it wasn't an excuse. You know, I had the family in there. So thank God it was the right time. It was a day cut out of time. It was my time that God said, hey, he made a call to me. You know, salvation, we see this, we think about this day. Salvation comes speedily or quickly. Salvation comes quickly. I can't say speedily. In a single moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. It wasn't a gradual thing. I mean, that day, that moment, that was it. The time salvation came, that is, I'm not saying God doesn't deal with you a little bit, deal with your heart. That might be longer. That might take some time. But when you get saved, boy, it's an instantaneous thing. It's not a process. Sanctification is, but salvation is not a process. What a blessing that this day, this moment, a person can be saved in one. He can meet Jesus Christ in 1 minute. And realize he's a sinner and he can be saved. I mean, that's a blessing right there from God to know that you can be saved this day in the very instant of a person. You can be saved today. You don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to know the Bible from, you know, Genesis to Revelation. You know, all you have to know is you're lost and that you want to be saved. Those are the two things you need. And then you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that you can trust him for your salvation. That's all you need. So salvation can come very quickly, and thank God for that. You know, because sometimes I think, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm not ready. Well, what do you got to do to get ready? I had a friend of mine one time, he's still lost. He said, man, I'm not done sinning. I told him, I said, brother, you ain't never going to, well, I didn't call him brother. I said, you're never going to be done sinning. When are you going to, how are you going to get, well, I got to do this, and this, and then I'm going to get saved. No, sir, listen, man, when are you going to, you know, today's the day. I'm probably ahead of myself on my points right there. Salvation it's a discernible thing, discernible. You know, Jesus Christ could see it. He said, listen, salvation is coming. This day, salvation is going to come to your house. It's something that can be seen in a way. Zacchaeus himself could see that salvation came to his house that day. Others could see the fruits of Zacchaeus' salvation. I have this, my Bible's underlined because I preached this out of this text before from a different message. And there, and I like this point, I always point this out. You know, Zacchaeus, it said in verse 8, he stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I got that little if underline right there. I'd say that since that popped in his mind, I'd say there's a pretty good chance he probably had taken some money by, false pretense, or somehow he had taken some money from somebody before. That was something that was weighing on his mind. Pastor Frank's coming down here. He's going to be here on, and he was our pastor when I came here to this church. And Pastor Frank used to say, listen, you go down the altar and pray, and if you can't think of any of your sins, he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, just take a guess. You'll get it right the first time, every time. You know, I mean, you know what they are. So I believe that Zacchaeus had probably done something like that, but he said, listen, I restore it fourfold. He never felt like restoring it before. He restoring it now. Why? Because salvation had come to his house. I'm saying, what happened is something. Things change in your life when you get saved. I don't mean you're going to be perfect. You know, you're going to get saved today and everything's going to be perfect tomorrow. But all of a sudden, your attitude and your outlook and everything changes. And there's some, and I can look back at myself before I got saved. And I'm going to tell you something, man. It's not the same guy standing here today. I'm not perfect. Missed it by that much. But I mean, it's not the same guy. You know, I'm being sarcastic. I'm not the same guy. It's like I'm looking at another man. It's like I look at it and it's somebody else I can see. I know how it looked from the inside out, but it's not the same guy. It's something that's happened. So it was something that was seen. And, you know, I believe it's impossible for a man to be saved and then nothing in his life changes. I tried to explain to Jesse this morning. I said, listen, man, the fact that we're praying, just going through the act, it's not hocus pocus. You know, we're not doing this one thing, and that's why you're saved. You're saved because Jesus Christ loved you, died, and shed his blood, paid the price for your sins. We're just praying to ask him for your salvation, but it's a heart deal. You know, you got to believe in your heart. But I said, I'll tell you something, because he was worried, well, what happens when I get saved? Do I got to do this? I said, listen, don't worry about the got to do's. God will take care of the change in your life. You know, you're not, that's his department. Your department is to see that you're lost, and your department is to say you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and he paid for your sins, and your department is just to trust him for your salvation and trust him to take care of the change. He's the one, you can't do it. We can't do it. I struggle now. I have the Holy Spirit of God. But also, like we found out on Wednesday night, we have the devil fighting us, and we got our flesh fighting us, and we still have a hard time if we're not leaning on the Lord. So listen, I can't love God like I ought to love God without God, because I can't love like God loves. He's got to do it through me. I mean, I know that. I tried to explain that to that boy this morning so he'd understand just a little bit more about what's going to take place in his life. But I believe something, listen, that you could see some evidences. It was something that was visible. I said this morning about that people talk about the invisible church. Ain't no such thing as the invisible church. The church is visible, brother. I mean, that's just the way, you know, it's visible. It should be seen. It's an army, man. We got a commission. You can't have a commission and be invisible, for crying out loud. It's a visible church. And then also, salvation is a perfect blessing, a perfect blessing. Think about this in Zacchaeus' case. As late as yesterday, Zacchaeus hadn't even seen Jesus. He had heard about him, but he had never even seen him. Yesterday, he hadn't seen him. And so he found out Jesus was coming that day, and he said, he ran down there and got in a sycamore tree that day, and the first time he set eyes on Jesus, Jesus said, today is salvation come to thine house. He's going to get saved that day, the very first time he saw him. How about that? That means, you know what that means? That the very first time you ever heard a gospel message, you could get saved that day. You know, you can meet Jesus that day. He did. He had a perfect blessing. And man, listen, a half an hour ago, he was climbing a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. He just wanted to see him a half an hour before he got saved. Man, that's all he knew. He just thought it was some buzz, some excitement there. Jesus came. But that very day, not only did Jesus come into his house, he came into his heart. And I'm telling you, man, the change took place. I mean, he had no idea what running into Jesus would do. There's so many stories I could go on all night long about people that just were found out something about Jesus. There has been people that have set out. Lee Strobel, he's a good one. There's one of his books out there on the book table. All those books out there are free. There's a book out there Lee Strobel wrote, and he was an attorney that set out to prove that Jesus Christ was a fake, that he couldn't be real. And when he got done trying to prove him wrong, he said, all the evidence. He was an attorney. He said, all the evidence, he said, proves he must be real. He's got to be real. He said, man, if you had that much evidence in any case in any court in the world, he said, you'd win the case. He said, man, so here was a guy that looked at Jesus with the intent of proving him wrong or disproving Jesus. And this man got saved. He met him. He met him on the way. And so Zacchaeus met him that day. Listen, man, I mean, this day, he came into his house. He came into his heart. And let me tell you something. We have a complete salvation when we get saved. Now, I said sanctification is the process where we grow in the Lord and we learn and we become a mature Christian. We go from a babe in Christ to be a mature Christian. That's sanctification. But your salvation is complete. Nothing else got to be added to it. Nothing else you have to do. It's a complete thing, man. You're just as saved on day one as you are. If you live to be 100 as a saved man, you're just as saved as you're ever going to be. There's nothing else that we can add to that. So that's an instant thing. Why? Because it's all God's work. It's his work, not our work, right there. And so he was saved. Instantly, he was translated from death to life. And he's going to stand before God the Father in perfect righteousness. I thought about right after this story, you know, Jesus was crucified, and there was two thieves on the cross, right? And that one thief on there, man, I don't know that he'd ever met Jesus before, but he was nailed to a cross beside him that day, and he looked over in his lie and he called Jesus Lord, and he told that other thief, listen, we're thieves, we get what we deserve. See, he confessed that he was a sinner. And he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. You know what Jesus said? This day, a day cut out of time. This day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, I don't know what the date was for specifically the day, but he He got saved, man. I mean, that boy got saved. Listen, he had just met Jesus. As far as you know, he was a thief. He was hanging on a cross. What did he have to do? He wasn't baptized. He never joined a church. He had never taken communion. He had never done any good work from the time he got saved till the time he went to heaven because he was hanging on a cross. He just confessed Jesus as Lord, confessed that he was a sinner, trusted him. Boy, you think about that, hanging on a cross. You're at least hours, at the most hours away from dying. You got nails going through your hands. Probably been scourged as well. You're about to die. You got fear, worry, guilt, pain, suffering. And the God of the universe, the creation, is hanging on the cross beside you. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I want you to know, brother, there was a flood of peace that went in that man's heart. Even though he was hanging on a cross, boy, what a word of comfort. What a word. And that other thief could have had it. Man, that close to the Savior and that close to death. And he could have been saved on that very day. He could have trusted Jesus Christ and had all of the fear and of death and the worry of dying and all that taken care of, that close to being saved. Yet he just rejected the Savior. And this man accepted the Savior. And all that poured into his heart. Man, what a day. And man, he didn't have to go through no more struggles in paradise that day. That day. I mean, man, this was a complete a salvation. And so, like I say, it's a spiritual growth for sure, but salvation is a perfect blessing. You know, salvation entails many blessings. I kind of spoke about that out of turn a few minutes ago or ahead of myself right there. It's kind of like opening a big box. If you ever get a box, I used to get a box every once in a while. I get a box from my relatives for Christmas, and it was a big box, and it had a lot of other little packages inside. And you got the big box, and that's neato, and you open that up, and then you got this one you get to open, and that one you get to. That's the way salvation is. Because I didn't know about the rest of it. I didn't know about a relationship with God, what that would mean. I didn't know that God could just fill you with his Spirit where you felt the love of God swell up like you had never felt in your life and never felt since if it went anywhere. And I mean that, I didn't know that. Huh? I didn't know what the joy of leading somebody else to the Lord was like, telling somebody about Jesus. I didn't know what that was like, having a real prayer meeting. I mean, not them old mealy mouth, hurry up and spit it out, whether you got a hold of God or not. Prayer, but I'm talking about when you sit down and talk to God, that you could sit down and talk to God, the creator of the universe, God Almighty, that you could sit down and talk to him. I didn't know that. I was just trying to get saved, man. I mean, I knew I needed to be saved. And so these are all the other blessings that we have that come from God that we can get. I mean, that God gives you in this time down here. And if you think this is good, wait till we get there. Man, we get in heaven, think about it, man. We're never going to have a temptation to sin. In heaven. Never going to have an evil thought. I don't know what in the world we're going to think about. Huh? Never going to have a sinful thought. Never going to have an evil thought. You know, somebody, if people ever aggravate you, you know, what in the world are we going to, my mind going to be halfway blank or more now. Huh? There's nothing, huh? We're not going to have anything like that. I mean, it's going to be, man, it's going to be joy, peace, love. Man, we're going to be praising God. We're not going to have any burden down here. No death, no sickness. No dying, no separation, no hate, no war, no tears. The Bible said not even a tear. We'll be in heaven. I keep thinking, man, I get real happy. I might tear up, but it said no tear. Maybe it just means no tear of sadness. I don't know. But man, I mean, so it's only going to get better from here, but it can be good here. It can be a lot better than what we experience a lot of times on this earth if we just put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know Zacchaeus was happy. I think I'll get to that here in just a second. Like I say, sanctification process, power of prayer, fruit of the Spirit, victory over the flesh, sin, flesh, and the devil, all those things are available to us now, like opening that box. And then it's a spreading blessing. The Bible says that salvation came to his house. That means his wife, his children, his servants, if he had any, they received the Lord too. You know, the greatest thing I told that fella today, his mama says, his mama was saved, right? She said, listen, he got saved and said, you know, his brother needs to get saved. And I looked at him. I said, look, man, I know you just got saved today, and you think, man, you know, that God can't use you. But I said, what? God can use you to lead your brother. And he got it. I said, well, they got another brother that's lost. I said, there's two right there. I said, because you're in the household. You have an example. I said, they can get saved too. I mean, you got to know. He said, and he shook his head. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I said, so there, you know, that's what happens when you get somebody's in your household saved. What a blessing that is. It's a blessing to have godly parents. It's a blessing to have, you know, godly, as she talked about, Brenda talked about her father, I think it was a good Christian man. That had an influence on the family, see? So what a blessing it is to have that in your family. And then it was an abiding blessing. You know, we never read nowhere where his salvation left. And my pastor used to preach all the time. I think his mom used to think you could lose your salvation. Certain denominations think you can lose your salvation. But then I got to the night and I thought about this. There's not one single example in the Bible of anybody that ever got saved and lost their salvation and then came back and got saved again or just lost their salvation. Never. No, there's some people that ran along with the church for a little while and then they just fell away, but they were never really saved. And the Bible's clear on that. You know, and Jesus talks about it there in Matthew, and he said, you know, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we done many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you, but you fell away. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you because they weren't really saved. And so it's an abiding thing. You know, Jesus said, I must abide at thy house. When salvation comes, brother, it comes to say. And so, you know, salvation is a work of God. And, you know, thank God for that. It's a work of God, and it fails not. The work of God fails not. And then we have the second point. Man, I'm only on the second point. I thought I was farther along than that, huh? Short message. What about the why about this day? I had the what about this day. I got the why about this day. I'm going to tell you why, because Jesus called. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. All right, now see, this is where the ball gets in your court. Zacchaeus could have said, uh-uh, I'm not coming. Not today. I got something I got to do. Cat ate my Bible. I gotta go to work. I've got to do this. I got this much. I'm thinking, let me think about it. Let me think about it. No. He said, Zacchaeus, he said, come down. And Zacchaeus answered the call. I mean, listen, man. I mean, Jesus called his name. This is what happens. It's a personal call. See, you can preach in a crowd and you never know where anybody's at, really, spiritually speaking. And because I've had people say to me, man, that one thing you said, it just kept pounding in my head, and they tell me what I said, and I don't even remember saying it. It wasn't even the main point. I said, did I say that? I mean, I didn't. Terry, you gave a testimony last week. You said, I led you to the Lord. I was thinking, my memory's not what it used to be. I said, I led you to the Lord. I forgot about it. I told somebody that today. I didn't remember that. Huh? But he called his name out. He said, he called his name and it was a personal call to Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, you got to get, and Zacchaeus heard the call, brother, and he came down. It was a personal call to him, personal preaching and a personal call. And it produced immediate obedience. The Bible says that Zacchaeus made haste. I like that. He said, you know, Zacchaeus made haste. I bet you anything. Somebody said, you know, he had to climb up a sycamore tree or whatever tree it was. I bet he got down quicker than he went up. Man, Jesus called, boy, he shot down there. I like that. He didn't think about it. I'll never forget. This guy sticks in my mind all these years later. It was somebody actually that Geneva's mother knew that we went over to Blue Ridge. Me and Derek Benson went over there years ago to see this guy, talk to him about the Lord. He had cancer, was eaten through his spine. It had already paralyzed him. He was laying in bed, dying. We went in to see him, you know, talk to him and ask him, you know, just kind of the preliminaries, you know, did you have a background, you know, anything? Because sometimes if you find out maybe somebody went to church, they had a background. Yep, used to go to a Baptist church down the road and knew about it. And I said, well, you know, man, I said, you know, I'm sorry that this has happened to you, but, you know, God's got a reason in this and that. But, boy, we're here to tell you, you know, you can be saved. And he said, nah. I got to think about it. Man, I like to hit the floor. I said, I got a little, you know, I wanted to get a little more forceful. I normally don't, but I mean, I just knew time was short. I said, listen, man, let me ask you something. I'll just be blunt here. You are dying. You got cancer eating through your spine. You're already paralyzed. You can't walk, and you got to think about it. And you know what he said to me? He said, I can't tell you why I can't get saved. I mean, and what he meant was he didn't mean that there was some reason he didn't think he could get saved. He just couldn't explain why. And I knew why. I don't think God was dealing with him. I don't think God was dealing with him any longer. And there's a day of grace, and I'm telling you what, you pass that day of grace, and I don't know when it is. Thief on the cross was on the last day he got saved, but not everybody. There's people that have rejected the gospel and rejected the gospel and rejected the gospel. And when he said that, I'm telling you, up until that point, I felt the Holy Spirit was dealing, and it was just like the Holy Spirit just swept out of the room, and it was cold as ice. And I told Derek, I said, let's go. I said, let's pray with him. I prayed with him. I prayed he'd get saved. We walked out the door. He died in 3 weeks. He was dead. As far as I know, he never made a profession. My wife's Uncle Dan. His wife was saved, and she begged him to get saved, and he's all interested in racing horses and doing what his other thing was. He had a heart attack, and they got him to the hospital, had him in the emergency room, and his wife ran in there, and she begged him to get saved. He had tears streaming down both sides of his cheeks while he laid on her bed. He said, I can't get saved. I can't get saved. He died without Christ. I mean, listen, man, I mean, but this guy, Zacchaeus, man, he made haste. He said, man, today's the day, man, I'm going down there. And Jesus called him to make haste, and he did, and I believe that. I believe he went down faster than he came up, and he didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to put it off. What's to think about? He didn't dwell in the valley of indecision. He didn't have to pray about it. I mean, it was just obedience. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It was joyful obedience. Look in verse 6. It said he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Man, listen, man, we're not talking about a funeral procession here. We're not going to the dentist. I mean, this is you're getting saved, man. I mean, you know, this ought to be a big deal, man. You ought to be excited about that. You're not giving anything up. You're gaining something. You're gaining Jesus Christ. You're gaining eternal life. You're getting the Holy Spirit and a million other things. What is people like, oh, man, I got saved. You know? I mean, I don't get it, man. He received him joyfully. He had a hallelujah on his lips, and he had praise in his heart. It was in there. Other people, it said, they murmured. I read about that. It said in others, it said in verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Thank God for that. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you about this. Not everybody gets happy when you get saved. Nah, some of your friends. I told Jesse this morning, I said, well, listen, I'm going to give you some practical things. I said, you got saved today, and this don't mean you don't love people. It doesn't mean you don't care. But I said, I know from my own experience, there's a good chance there's probably some people that you kind of need to separate from just a little bit. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, there is. I said, doesn't mean you don't love them, and you're not thinking you're holier than them. But they're going to take you in a direction that you don't need to go. You know, you're going and you're a new me. I said, there's probably some people, there's some places, there's some things. I said, you know what? That's just the nuts and bolts of being a Christian, living a Christian life. There's some people, and we all had to probably do that. And we can pray for them, we can love them, and we can get them one-on-one and talk to them about the Lord, but there's some things we're not going to be able to do and honor God at the same time. And so there's people that's not always happy. Sometimes it's people in your family. They're not happy that you got saved. Sometimes it's loved ones. Sometimes it's coworkers. Sometimes it's other relatives. There's friends that's not always happy. And these people murmured that Jesus has gone. They weren't celebrating that a man got saved. They just murmured there. And so, but Zacchaeus, man, he had Jesus in his heart. Joy was produced because of that. And he purged out some things that didn't need to be there, man. He started saying, listen, if I've taken anything, I'm going to restore fourfold. I'm gonna give back. I'm gonna make amends there in that case right there. I think covetousness was something that he might have had a problem with, but God dealt with him in that point right there. And then the last point is the why not about this day. Today, June the 2nd, 2019. Why not about this day? Think about this. Why would a person not give themselves to Christ? Why not? I was asking that guy that was dying with the cancer in his spine. I was almost flabbergasted that this guy's dying, and he just said, well, I'm not ready, or you might have said that too. You know, I said, listen, man. I said, if I had $1 million, like I said that this morning, I said, if I had $1 million, and I said, listen, man, I'd like to give this to you. Would you like to have it? How many of you got to think about that more than a second? If you do, come see me after the service. And we'll go see the psychiatrist, you know. I got to think about it, you know. Well, I got to pay $200,000 in tax. So what? I'll take it any day or whatever you got to pay. I don't care if it's $300,000. I'll take the million. Right? I said, you got to think about it. Why would you have to think about this? Why not today? Why not get saved? Is there really one reason why a person wouldn't get saved? Not a good reason. Satan might sit on your shoulder and put something in there that's not true. It had to be a lie to not get saved. Well, what would be the reason why you wouldn't want to get saved? I don't understand it. There's really no reason. There's several reasons why you should. Oh, I read a thing. Well, never mind. I ain't doing that. I'll save it for Wednesday night. Remind me, I got something on my phone to share with you. Seven reasons why there's some people you ought to get rid of. That's what. I'll tell you that one later on. But there's some reasons why you ought to get saved. Number one, I don't know if it's number one in priority, but it's just number one in what I wrote. It's a dangerous thing to live one more minute without Christ. See, Jesse told me last week when service was over, he got saved. He says, hey, man, he says, next week, he said, I want to talk to you about getting saved. I said, well, man, that's great. I said, I hope you live till next week. I said, but if God's dealing with you, listen, you don't have to have me. I don't have any special power. I can't save you. I said, your mama knows. Your mama's a Christian. I said, all you need to know is you're a sinner and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and trust him for salvation. We can work out the details later on. I'll give you some more information. I said, that's all you need to know. Don't wait for me. You know, and I prayed all week. I said, Lord, let him live, let him live, let him live. And I felt confident that he would, and God did, and he came in. But I'm saying, listen, it's dangerous. We don't have a guarantee. We go to Bible camp every year, and we preach to young kids. And I've been going there. We've probably been going there about 18 years, something like that. And every, you know, there's all those faces, a lot of kids, sometimes 180 kids in there, youth. They're all sitting in seats. And I've told them, I said, you know, over the years, before we came back the next year, people had died. You know, I got a famous name, Daniel Boone. There was one boy from over in Bedford. His name was James Brown. Man, he was the biggest cut up ever was, man. And we used to carry on Daniel Boone, James Brown, man. You know, we're doing all that. And we just cut around. Well, he got killed out there on 460 before the next year came. He was just a teen, young teen. Got killed in a car wreck. And I never forget that. And I always think, and I tell them, they're all sitting in the seats. And this is a real, real good one. I said, listen. Some of you all are sitting in the very seat of somebody that was here last year or a year before, that has died. They died before they came back to this camp. They died, and they're sitting in the same place you're sitting, heard a gospel message, and I don't know whether they were saved or not, but they heard gospel messages every night at Bible camp from Sunday night through Thursday night, and Thursday morning, and even during the day. I said, they heard it, and if they sat there and rejected that gospel, they have died without Christ. They sat in them, Zach, we don't have a guarantee. You can read the obituaries every day. You know, when you get old, that's what we do. You know, you get up in the morning, first thing, you get the paper, you look and see if you're in it. You know, and I'm still living, I'm not. And you look, but I've looked in there over the years and look at the ages of the people. And you know, when you're older, you think, man, they're younger than I am. They were younger than I am. But you see some young ones sometimes. I just preached a funeral for a stillborn baby 2 weeks ago, and I've preached them for some young people. My one of my best friends' daughter died. She was 25 years old. Man, died in the shower. Stress got her. And I had to preach her funeral, and then a few years later, he took his own life, and I preached his funeral too. I mean, you don't have a guarantee of another. You don't have a guarantee of another day, so. Not another day. Life is short at best. Why put it off another day? Why put off another day without the blessings of God? And then we live in a dangerous world. That Virginia Beach shooting, I grew up in Virginia Beach, is near and dear to my heart. I looked on a paper, man, 12 people. I was reading their names to see if somebody might have known. 12 people and a shooter dead, you know. I mean, man, just, you don't know. They just went to work that day at the courthouse of all places. Cops everywhere. Down to Virginia Beach Courthouse. I used to drive by it every day when I was going to school. Went by it every day. There they are. So we live in a dangerous world. And then the second thing is, it's late enough already. this second, it's not too late. But the next second might be. It's late enough already. Listen, God is long-suffering. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus went on the cross. All that is the grace of God. Giving us time to be saved. Man, what a day. This is it. Today is a day of salvation. Jesus called Zacchaeus that day, and Jesus was going to the cross, and he was never coming back through Jericho again. It was that day. It wasn't the day before, and it wasn't the day after. It was today. Jesus is calling. If Jesus is calling you today, today is the day. When Jesus was after this and he approached Jericho, or as he approached Jericho, a blind man called out, Bartimaeus. We know him as Bartimaeus. And some told him to be quiet, but he cried out the more. He cried out. And I want to tell you something. His prayer stopped Jesus in his tracks. And he said, bring him to me. And he asked Bartimaeus, Jesus asked Bartimaeus, he said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, you know, that I might receive my sight. But he didn't know everything. He also got his sight physically and spiritually because he was saved that day. Jesus came to Jericho and Zacchaeus ran to him. And Jesus took note. When you cry out to Jesus, he takes note. When you run to Jesus, he takes note. Those were the only two people that I know of that got saved on that trip right there, other than when he got to the cross. And it was the guy that cried out. You can sit and listen to the message all day, every day. But until you cry out, run to Jesus, you won't be saved. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul's going to come forward. And tonight, I know it's a salvation message. Probably would have been a good Sunday morning message, but God knows what we need.